gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy Boy, Steenie, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right. Wow. We are guested up, as I was telling Jackie at the top of the hour.
Yep.
It is MOOC Appreciation Day all day. I'm going to take a day off of abusing
you.
Aw. Big show. We're Kennedy'd up this hour.
Yep.
We have Christopher Kennedy Lawford and former Representative Patrick Kennedy. At the bottom of the hour, Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com,
who was epic this week
at Esquire.com.
Yes, he was.
Really great stuff. And Representative Adam Schiff and former Ambassador James Hormel, all on the big show today.
James Hormel has been in the news as of late.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. He's a newsmaker, as we call them in the biz.
Is that what we call them?
Regarding the Chuck Hagel nomination.
That's right.
Yeah, we got to get everybody's take on this, but obviously James Hormel, who was the target of what Chuck
right.
Hagel said. He put out a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, I think he said he wasn't sure if the apology was sincere. It looks
right.
like he's just trying to, obviously, keep his appointment alive, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
But then, his statement pretty much is in
yep.
support of Chuck Hagel's nomination. So,
yeah.
I mean, Tammy Baldwin, the first openly gay senator, says she will question him about
no,
it.
He probably does need to be
Barney Frank
questioned.
Has dialed back his opposition to the nomination. I mean, my feeling, and I don't know what you guys think, it just seems, I think, as a lot of people, I think James Hormel's statement said, a lot of people have evolved since then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was 96
yeah.
when
yeah.
he was
yeah.
nominated to be ambassador of Luxembourg.
I was much more anti-gay than I am now. And and I'm gay.
A lot of people were.
No, but I think, well, you know, exactly. That's when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was enacted, which
yep.
now seems ridiculous and antiquated to us, and it's why it's gone. But so,
mm-hmm.
And
old-timey.
Yeah.
Old-timey.
Right.
The deuce, you say.
Thank you, Jim. That's a good way to put it. anyway, yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's just and I think, Jim, you were saying that yesterday. I think he generally has seemed like a good guy and on the
oh, yeah.
right side of issues like Iraq
and
that are really important.
I can't think of anyone better for defense.
Yeah.
I've thought that for years.
I think he's right on Iraq, Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
the stuff that. So, you know, that's all I'm saying is a comment that he made however many years ago when obviously.
And he
yeah.
phrased it indelicately when he talked about AIPAC as the Jewish lobby. Which
yeah.
is,
right.
It's not only. I mean,
it's a government of Israel. Lobby.
Well, it's the Likud
yeah.
right.
representatives in the U.S.
Right, but and that being said, it doesn't mean you're anti-Israel if you don't think that they should bomb Iran.
Right,
that
exactly.
Isn't, right. So anyway, yeah, so interesting stuff. A lot of people have a lot to say about it. Former Representative Barney Frank dialing back his opposition
mm-hmm.
to the pending nomination of Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense, saying he's willing to look past his comments about gays because it's more important that his views prevail in the drawing down the war in Afghanistan and reducing wasteful defense spending, both
and
of which, yeah.
He's put his money where his mouth is, you know, twice wounded veteran of Vietnam. He's not one of these chicken
right.
hawks.
Right.
Exactly.
Send more people over there
and
to get killed.
He served with his brother in the same platoon. His brother saved his ass and he saved his brother's ass. So,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, yeah, he knows from combat.
Right.
He's
well,
still
I mean,
got shrapnel in his chest.
Yep.
From, yeah.
Yeah. As Max Cleland said, he's got the holes in his T-shirt to prove, you know,
right.
he and John Kerry.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I interesting. Boy, but, you know, it does remind you where we were then when we enacted
yeah.
this stupid policy, mm-hmm. Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So,
and now they never enforced the don't tell part. Yeah, people who,
right.
Right.
yes. I forgot that part. I thought that was not the policy, according to Don McCain.
Not the policy. It's not the policy.
Now, anyway.
Sarah Palin is the smartest woman on earth.
And we'll have to ask James Hormel if he is still openly and aggressively gay or if he's somewhat more passively gay now.
No, he's okay. No,
I never even knew what that meant.
He lives in San Francisco. He's got a partner.
Can you be passively gay?
No, you can be passively gay. You were passively gay for many years.
Not by choice, only because I'm a loser.
Isn't that called being a bottom?
No one wants to be with me, not because...
Jim Louise Ward, did you hear what he said?
What did you say?
Nothing.
He always slips things in under the... What did he say?
I said, what, isn't that called being a bottom? I don't know.
Passively gay?
Jim Louise Ward. You know what? It was best. Something is best that...
What, you insisted that he repeat it?
It's best that Grandma doesn't hear. Just let it go.
What'd you say? What'd you say? I had my hearing aid off. What'd you say?
Grandma didn't hear
it. Oh, I can't believe he said that.
Say it again.
God.
Yeah, I would be much more aggressively gay if I had a choice. If there was anyone. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Got some death. Yes, Tammy Baldwin. That's what I mean. Talk about like where we've come from, where we were when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was enacted. Not only is that gone, we have the first openly gay senator that's going to be able to, you know, question him about this. She says she plans to question Chuck Hagel in order to determine whether his apology for anti-gay comments he made 14 years ago was sincere. She said, I do want to speak with him particularly about his comments 14 years ago to see if his apology is sincere and sufficient. I want to hear how he's evolved on this issue in the last 14 years, because the significance to the post to which he's been nominated is the respect for now openly gay members of the military who, because of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, can serve openly. And we need to see that that is implemented successfully, especially because the security of this nation is at stake in all of these regards.
I totally agree with that. He needs to be asked about it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. The president yesterday making the nomination.
He understands that America stands strongest when we stand with allies. And with friends. As a successful businessman, he also knows that even as we make tough fiscal choices, we have to do so wisely, guided by our strategy, and keep our military the strongest fighting force the world has ever known.
I also like that he's a reminder of that Republican Party used to be somewhat sane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he's an Eisenhower Republican.
Right. Yes. Right, or like Dick Lugar. I mean, he's, you know, I really think it's part of what the president always was trying to do, even starting from his nukes legislation with Lugar in the Senate. I think I really do think the president still believes in that or still wants to do that. And like we were saying, this is the perfect example. You can go back on the record. We did a whole Guess the Quote yesterday of glowing things Republicans said about Chuck Hagel. And now that Obama wants him, now he's Satan. Of course. All right, the president yesterday.
He is an American patriot. He enlisted in the Army and volunteered for Vietnam. As a young private and then a sergeant, he served with honor alongside his own brother. When Chuck was hit by shrapnel, his brother saved him. When his brother was injured by a mine, Chuck risked his life to pull him to safety.
All this during the time period when my brother was trying to hang me. But anyway, that's a different story altogether.
Well, yeah.
So you're saying you should be Secretary of Defense?
Yes.
Okay.
I survived my brother. And that's my only qualification.
You're the Secretary of getting other people to paint defense.
That's exactly.
I am good at that.
You are.
I would get the entire Defense Department to work for free. Susan in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suze.
Hi. Hold on. I have to turn my TV down.
Okie dokie.
You're on there.
Oh.
I just want to say the Republicans are making our country look so weak by, you know, publicly putting Chuck Hagel down. They're weak and they're making our country look really bad. All they worry about is Israel all the time. It's like Netanyahu's their boss or something.
Yep.
And they better just really concentrate on America and helping poor people.
Yeah. Susan, what the president just said, Jim, it does remind me that you're kind of going, look at the difference in the kind of Republicans. He volunteered Vietnam. And, well, there's so many of these, as Jim was just saying, chicken hawks that went, like Dick Cheney, that went way out of their way to get out of serving, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they seem so spoiled, like they can't get out of power. They need the power, they're addicted to the power, and we would accept it if we were in their spot. We'd be like, okay, new president changes. It's like they can't let go. They can't let go of the power, and it's like they're still blaming Obama. He's the best president we've ever had. He's strong. He makes our country look strong.
It's not just a brilliant move policy-wise, it's a brilliant move politically, because it absolutely exposes what you're talking about, Suze. It's he's a Republican, and you don't like him now? I mean, it's
just... Just because it doesn't make you strong to say you need to go to war, you have all the things to go to war, you're tough, you're strong. That scares people. It's not right. And we don't want our kids to go to war. They don't care about poor people. I'm really thinking that they're pushing the wars. They're pushing the wars to get rid of all the poor people.
They're trying to
kill us.
It's a much subtler way to turn them into mulch, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. It's a way of keeping people afraid. And they'll submit to anything to avoid, another 9/11. And that's what all this stuff at the airport is
about. And people have made the point. There's nobody that hates more than someone that has been there. And that's the difference. That's why you're right. I like him for that job. All right. The president, one more time. Chuck on Chuck Hagel.
Maybe most importantly, Chuck knows that war is not an abstraction.
See? I just said
that. He understands that sending young Americans to fight and bleed in the dirt and mud. That's something we only do when it's absolutely necessary.
Hear, hear. Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning.
Just a couple quick points. This whole Chuck Hagel thing. All of a sudden, Eric Cantor's Jewish, you know, and so offended by Chuck Hagel when his little aides were having their shenanigans in Israel in the water.
Right.
And it's just such a joke. And they're all coming out saying how he's anti-gay, anti-lesbian, anti-this, because the Republicans have always been so pro-gay. I just find that hysterically ironic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all of a sudden, he's anti-gay, and, you know, because they're so pro-gay.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
It's ridiculous.
Yes.
So that's what I wanted to say.
As you remember, Dana, they have always been pro-gay, and we have always been at war with East Asia. That is why Chuck Hagel cannot be.
And I just think that's what I mean. It's hilarious. If this were a Republican president, they'd be dancing in the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go.
So, you know, it's completely hypocritical.
In a really gay way.
Oh, I'll just
feel in a really gay way.
Yeah, in a gay pride way.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Okay.
Kennedy.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I just realized I'm Jewish.
Just realized I'm a Jew.
I never realized that before.
But now it comes in handy because I can act all outraged. 17 minutes after
I am outraged at whatever he's alleged to have done or said.
Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. I'm not going to go there with the, you know who else was? Okay, never mind. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Taking back God, taking back the flag, taking back America, and all before breakfast. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Pat in California. Hi, Pat.
Hi. Listen, I wanted to say Hagel could evolve in his attitude, just like I did. I evolved. I had a lot of gay and lesbian. I have a lot of gay and lesbians on both sides of the family, my side and my husband's side. We love them to death. But I always had that little stigma about the Catholic Church, even though I had a lot of practicing Catholic anymore.
Yes.
And I said, oh, I want my priest to have to marry, you know, somebody if he didn't want to. And as soon as the president came out and they started this thing, it's a right, I said, oh, my God, it is a right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just completely snapped, and I was just, and I used to talk to my family and friends about it.
Yeah.
And I'd say, oh, I agree with all this. I want you to have all the benefits, but, you know, the marriage thing. No, it is a right, for God's sake.
That way, you know what, Pat, I think that's what has really made this, you know, this particular civil right move so much faster is because of that, what you just said, is you looking in your loved one's eyes and going, I love you, but I don't believe you deserve the same rights that I have.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. Look, I'm also a practicing Catholic. I got so good I went professional. So I also don't practice anymore. But I know what you mean. I'm gay, and I didn't even ever really think, I never even thought about it. I don't even think I ever thought it would be possible, gay marriage, you know?
Yeah. And see, my attitude for was always that God doesn't have any distraction about who he loves. He loves all of us, regardless of whatever he, you know, and to me, that's the way I felt. So that wasn't it, but it was just like, oh, you know, no. And now I'm just like, my God, what happened? When the president did it, it just made it a universal thing.
Yeah, and you know, Pat, I think Chuck Hagel is generally a good guy. I think what he, you know, we'll read his actual statement, but I think what he was saying back at that time is around the world there was still a lot of homophobia, and serving it, he was saying it's a sensitive post and whatever. So I know what you're saying, that I think that he didn't mean it, you know, probably the way it sounds now, 14 years later, we go, oh, that's really homophobic.
I wanted to tell you guys, I love you, love you, love you.
Thank you.
And I'm just so glad I have you. And I got up early in the morning, so I'm watching you guys, you know, early.
Aw, thank you,
Yay.
Honey. Appreciate it. All right, sweetheart. Yay. She's precious. Okay. Well, here's a story that will make you feel better, whether you're gay, straight, whatever. I always like to do one story a day about someone with a worse love life than me.
Okay.
Oregon man arrested for choking his girlfriend with his own dreadlocks.
Oh. Is she okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't do the story.
She
wasn't okay. It's the first thing I asked you. Is she okay?
Yeah.
Otherwise, not so funny.
So
funny.
You pretty much gave away that I knew the answer when I asked that question. Thanks. I was just trying to move the show along.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Do we need to know any details? No, he was arrested.
He was arrested.
Okay.
Charged.
All right. This story,
give
I feel...
Give him a buzz cut.
Yeah.
This will make you feel better about yourself, no matter who you are.
I think this beats the Camille Grammer story.
It's one of those stories that really I'd rather not do, and you handed it to me while I was eating.
Yeah, I did.
But everybody's talking about it,
yeah.
So I feel that we must...
It's the news you can't ignore.
We must pause in our Chuck Hagel conversation for a moment.
Just before we talk to the Kennedys.
Right.
Oh, nice.
Right before we Kennedy up, we need to...
Get this out of the way.
We need to clear this out of our system, so to speak, as it were.
A little news colon blow. It's not every day you read the headline, Al Roker, I pooped my pants at the White House.
He did a Philip Seymour Hoffman, basically.
Was it the Easter egg roll you said?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a chocolate one! Okay. This is really just an entire episode of way too much information.
Way.
I bet Willard Scott has never done that.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he has.
Maybe he has.
Did he think because it was an interview with a doctor, it was okay to get this graphic, perhaps?
Well, apparently.
It was a Dateline interview on NBC with Dr. Nancy Snyderman.
Right.
Yes. It's a televised, though. He is talking to a doctor, but okay.
About his
gastric bypass. Right.
And apparently this is a symptom,
right,
or a leftover of that surgery.
You guys share a bathroom here at Clear Channel. Someone who's... Okay, Roker has written a new book about his struggles with weight, and he sat down with Sugarman to talk about...
Snyderman,
right, to talk about gastric bypass surgery. He said, when you have a bypass and your bowel has been reconstructed, you think you're pretty safe. I probably went off and ate something I wasn't supposed to. And he was walking to the press room. Roker felt like he had said to pass a little gas here. Only a little something extra came out. Okay.
Couldn't he have waited till he got within striking distance of the men's room?
Snyderman said, you pooped your pants. I pooped my pants, confirmed Roker. Not horribly.
Just a little bit.
I knew.
There's a term for that, which I don't think we can say on
the air. No, we already had that discussion. We had our standards and practices meeting, and we said, no, we cannot say that.
Watch along, Kane Polly.
Snyderman said, which is a common effect of this surgery. Exactly, he said. So I was panicking, so I got to the restroom or the press room, threw out the underwear, and just went commando. Okay.
And somebody had to clean up the underwear.
Just a little bit came out. It wasn't like it needed a major cleanup in the bathroom.
And then him commando with his one, where are the underwear? So he left the poopy underwear in the
White
House?
In the trash can.
Oh,
you throw it away.
God.
Along with the paper towels. Who's going to know?
You clean yourself up. There you go.
Well, you know, if Joe Biden used that bathroom, that was a big deal. Tell you what. All right, who was in here? Al?
Oh, God.
Do not go in there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Do you believe how she looks?
How old is she?
50.
50?
You've got to be kidding.
I wonder what her secret is.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The new book is Recover to Live, Kick Any Habit, Manage Any Addiction. Mm-hmm. Christopher Kennedy Lawford and Congressman Patrick Kennedy join us now. Good morning. Good morning, sirs.
Hi, you only have one here, unfortunately.
Oh, which one do I have?
You have Christopher Kennedy Lawford, Patrick had to ditch.
Oh, that's okay. One Kennedy is more than enough.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Chris, how ironic that you should call in me since Ethel Kennedy got me addicted to Bananagram when I was lucky enough to visit with her.
There you go. She loves her Bananagram.
She is terrifying.
Yes, she can be a scary woman. Absolutely.
In a good way. I understand why.
In a good way. But I did tell the story about her breaking my thumb when I was about 13 years old, when I was in a fight with her son, David. I sort of said it endearingly, but she didn't take it that way.
I was afraid she was going to break one of mine for coming up with words that were too small for Bananagram. Anyway, let's. So, talk to us about the book and where this came
from.
Well,
I used to sit, in front and watch CNN and see this guy come on selling rehab and selling the addiction cure book, and I thought, I've come from a legacy where people trust me. I get a lot of goodwill in the world. I'm a goodwill ambassador. I work for the White House. I do a lot of advocacy for this issue, and I thought I could go talk to the smartest people on the planet about what addiction is and what it isn't, and I could put that in a book and give it to people, and they would have good evidence-based science for what addiction is, how to assess it, and what to do about it. And that's what I did. I think it's a really good book. It's a book that I think should empower people to really look at their behavior, and if they want to make changes, they can.
You talk about, it's interesting because obviously you guys you're also good about policy as well. It's not just a personal thing. There's parts of the book talking about the financial drain on the economy of untreated substance abuse.
Yeah, this illness costs us $600 billion a year. That's billion. Just alcohol and drugs. So, and this is not an issue. This is really the number one public health care issue in the world, really. I mean, in terms of cost to the individual and cost to society. And our best solution at this point really is legalization of marijuana, which I think is a bad idea. The truth is, we have a lack of political will here because this is a complicated issue. It's expensive. Nobody really wants to deal with it. There's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of shame associated with it. And we have no advocacy. There's 20 million people in recovery, and none of them are standing up demanding that our policymakers do something about this. Overdoses last year overcame traffic fatalities, and nobody cares.
Wow.
It's really a tragedy.
Chris, interesting. here's the irony of my life. As you're talking about you think legalizing marijuana is a bad idea, I just got an email from Annie and Willie Nelson.
I love Willie.
Author of the book Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Yeah. Marijuana is working for Willie Nelson. God bless him. Have one for me. But, I'm talking about our kids. An adolescent's brain isn't fully developed until they're 25.
Right.
The truth is, if they smoke marijuana, 1 in 6 will just smoke it chronically and obliterate their ambition and absolutely make it more likely that any kind of psychosis or schizophrenia or bipolar disorder will occur and will occur more rapidly. These are really serious issues. Nora Volko, who's the head of the National Institute of Drug Abuse, said to me, Chris, because I was pro-choice, I believe people should be able to do what they want to do as long as I don't have to pay for it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, she said to me, Chris, the marijuana they're smoking today is a lot different than the marijuana you were smoking. It's a serious drug. The two most damaging drugs on the planet are alcohol and tobacco. Do we need another legal drug? I don't think so.
Interesting. So when you see something like what just happened in Washington State, what do you think?
Well, I understand people's desire, and I understand the need for taxes, but I think proliferating gambling or marijuana are not the solutions. Now, As I said, I'm a pro-choice guy. I don't care what you do. When my kids had marijuana, I said, look, as long as you're under my roof, drugs are illegal, drinking is illegal. You're not allowed to do it. Once you leave my house, you can do whatever you want. I have no opinion about your life. You make your own choices in your life, and you live with those choices. If you get into trouble, come and see me. But the truth is, as a society, can we afford this? And we're not talking about Willie Nelson. We're talking about kids.
Right.
That's what I care about. If you legalize this, are more kids going to use it? The evidence is they will, and there will be costs for that. No matter what the benefits are in terms of our tax base, those are going to be obliterated by the mental health costs.
Christopher, you obviously, speak from experience. I'm told there's talk of your wild youths in the book.
There was a very wild youth, Stephanie, very wild. And I documented in my book Symptoms of Withdrawal. Recover to Live, my new book, is an entirely different book. It's not as fun and not as sexy. There's Marilyn Monroe's not in it or Frank Sinatra. But if people are interested in that part, they can buy Symptoms of Withdrawal, which is still available on Amazon, I think. This book, Recover to Live, which is also available on Amazon.com or on my website, ChristopherKennedyLawford.com, is a really important book. It's more like a textbook, but it's very accessible, and it's fun to read.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think that everybody else can sometimes recognize their path and yours, and that's why it's so helpful. You talk in the book about your moment of clarity. Talk to
that's
us
right.
about that.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, Carl Jung, the great psychologist who had a lot to do with Bill Wilson, who was the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, said he'd never seen an alcoholic recover who didn't have what he called a psychic change moment, a spiritual moment, some kind of a awakening, a moment of clarity, an epiphany. I did a book called Moments of Clarity where I interviewed some famous people like Alec Baldwin and Martin Sheen and Patrick Kennedy about their moment of clarity that got them from addiction to recovery. It's not essential. Most people have something like that. They wake up and they realize that they don't want to continue doing what they're doing, and whatever is inside them it really gives them the strength to do that, because this is a difficult addiction, a disease to overcome.
Well, you know, I'm a box wine aficionado myself.
Very good.
But you know, and you can joke about it, and I always say, "Oh, it's not a drinking problem; it's a solution."
That's right.
But you know, we all go through periods too of your life, whether it's, you know, sadness, depression, loneliness,
absolutely,
job stress, whatever it is, where you start to get, and there, everybody has that different moment where you go, "Ooh, you know, I got to pull back," or "This is a little much."
And that's why Recover to Live is so good, because listen, this is the truth: these substances and behaviors are helpful to people. They're solutions for people, and as long as they're working for you, God bless you. Continue to do it. I mean, if wine is working for you, do it, do it, do it. If it's causing harm in your life, and it's causing so much harm that it's really, you know, it's really diminished your quality of life, and you want to make changes, Recover to Live is for you. But I'm not selling anything here.
Right.
Because I want people to enjoy their life, and if you know, sex.
Well, you're just telling you're telling your story, and I'm sure people will find theirs in yours. I think for Chris, it's the, you know, he's sick of pulling me off the heating grate in the morning and bringing me into work.
Me.
There you go. Well, that's, that could be a little tough.
Chris,
I bet you look good.
Thank you, sir. It makes my pores look fabulous. Chris, it's a great book, and I think a great service, and I just such a fan of you guys, and I got to hang out at the compound and look at the pictures of your wild youth.
I sometimes think, I mean, I've been blessed. I've won the lottery many times in my life, not only where I was born, but also then getting into recovery. So I'm very grateful.
It's interesting. We just had a caller yesterday, and we talked about this during the campaign, that, there was so much about, class envy, and people don't like Mitt Romney because he's wealthy. And one of our callers called in and said, you know, everybody knew the Kennedys were wealthy, but you had the feeling that they cared about people that weren't. And so I really honor all that, you know, so many of you and your family have done, you know, for other people.
I'm enormously grateful. As I said, I get enormous goodwill in the world because of where I come from. And we really did have a family ethic of, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I truly have realized that the gift of life is not what you accumulate in life, although having nice things and having money in the bank is important. For folks, so that they can pay their bills. But really, being of service to others is really the best thing that you can do in terms of to make you feel good in this life.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because I guess I should tell you, I was drunk and I took some silverware from the compound.
But nice.
I'm FedExing it back to Ethel today.
Put it on eBay. Anybody will buy it.
Christopher Kennedy Law Firm, Recover to Live, Kick Any Habit, Manage Any Addiction. Chris, what a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Wow.
They have good senses of humor, those Irish
people. They certainly do.
Okay. Ken in the Adirondacks real quick. Hello, Ken. Hello, Ken. All right. Ken's just okay. You know what? When you have time, I'll come back to you. Okay. He's watching now going, oh! All right, 44 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Have we made a record number of people of mad already today?
We seem to have.
I was surprised. I thought Chris Kennedy, great interview, but a lot of people upset. He said that he does not think marijuana should be legalized, but he was talking about the effect on kids, and that's his opinion. But
right, and he said, you know, once you leave my house, you can do whatever you want.
You know, I think that pot should be.
All right, Jim. Now you just made everyone else mad that wasn't mad.
Yeah, I forgot.
All right. See, I'm pro-choice that way, too. I've never smoked pot. I've never done any drug.
I'm hungry.
But I am obviously a boxed wine drunk.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Thank you. And I just thought, how ironic. I just got an email from Annie and Willie Nelson during that interview.
Yeah.
Fabulous book, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die, Willie Nelson's book. Annie says, Steph, tell Chris we're listening to your podcast on our new app. On your new app.
Oh, yay!
Right? While playing dominoes on another app in the background whilst having dinner.
That's
and
many
drinking
apps.
A glass of wine to y'all, because for us, your show comes on stupid early out there in Maui.
There you go.
Wow. Where I hung.
Awesome.
I didn't play poker. It was poker night at Willie's.
You didn't play dominoes?
I lost a quarter once in a slot machine in Vegas. That was the end of my
gambling career.
I had a whole
I'm a little queasy.
I won a whole bucket of quarters and gambled it away almost instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm done.
That's what they want you to do. You fell into their trap.
Yep.
Yeah. I told you they were nice enough to invite us, and we thought, what do you call it? You know, then they were saying Woody Harrelson and Owen Wilson and Kenny Chesney are coming, and Roland and I are like, it's a little rich for our blood. We got to go. We got to get on the road again. See what I did there?
Yeah.
All right. And then we also made people mad for making fun of Al Roker, who... Oh, was I not supposed to mention when someone says they pooped their pants at the White House?
He crapped his pants.
Okay.
He admitted it. He talked about it on TV.
Artie in Texas. Hello, Artie. Welcome.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing, Steph?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Hey, listen. I was going to tell you, I love you and the MOOCs. I think you are all so smart. But
thank
I wanted
you.
To tell you one thing and call you out on it. Three times this morning on talk shows, I've heard people talking about Al Roker already.
Yes.
And you know what?
Don't laugh.
Bless his heart. You guys are like a Mensa show with fart jokes.
Right, right. Exactly.
But you know what? He was talking to a doctor, so cutting some...
I guess it was a little graphic is all I'm saying. It was a little information that we needed.
How do you not be graphic when talking about that?
Well, I'm just saying, he was trying to, you know, maybe he's helping people.
Right.
You know, my background was in pharmaceutical sales, and I used to sell medicines for people with irritable bowel syndrome and that sort of
right.
thing. And that is embarrassing to them.
Right.
And bless his heart, he was just being honest.
Right. No, that's true. It's just you're giggling while you're talking about it, so don't you tell me, Artie. All right.
Well,
I know.
Okay.
All right.
You know, I love you, though.
I love you back. I love you back.
But there is a serious aspect of this, and that is something that they don't necessarily tell you about when they're advertising all these gastric bypass things. That is spontaneous, you know, that and vomiting are sometimes side effects.
At least they warn you with those Olestra chips. They name them things like wow.
Yeah. Wow.
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 This is going to really make you
go. Really shouldn't have worn white pants.
Wow. Okay. All right. Listen, I should make a confession. I tend to blurt out embarrassing things on the show. But it's happened. I haven't had gastric bypass. And like when I've been on a hike and something strikes, I have like a bear. I have in the woods. Mm. I have. If you're stuck out on the hike and you get a stomach something, I've had it happen before.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I have pooped in the woods like a bear. Yes, I have.
We don't have woods here in the park.
Yes, you do.
No, chaparral and scrub. That is, you cannot squat behind it. Those bushes aren't big enough for you to squat behind.
At least it wasn't the White House.
And did you have toilet paper with you? No, I think not.
No, I'd use a leaf.
And you go commando. Wait a minute.
Look, sometimes you're out running or you're out hiking and something strikes.
If you've had, like, laxatives or something, then suddenly.
Right.
You don't go hiking amongst oak trees with leaves big enough to use.
There are coyotes up there going, oh, come on. We go into your bathroom and...
Well, they could through your doggy door.
Where do you find a leaf big enough to...
You know what? You don't need to know anything about the details. Just... I suppose we shouldn't play the Saturday Night Live sketch?
Okay.
All right. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hey, Mom, what do you say to a game of tennis?
Come on, Grandma. If you want our side, the boys don't stand a chance.
Okay, I'll get my racket. On second thought, I think I better sit this one out.
Well, you kids go ahead. I want to have a talk with your old grandma. You're still having control problems, aren't you?
I just don't feel confident, Harvey.
Come with me. I want to let you in on a little secret. Here we are. Oops, I crapped my pants.
Oops, I crapped my pants. I've heard of those. Do they work?
Oops, I crapped my pants. I outperformed every bladder and bowel control product on the market today. Here, let me show you. Now imagine this pitcher of iced tea is really a gallon of your feces. Now, see how a super thick fluff filter allows for maximum absorption without leaking.
I'm impressed. Oops, I crapped my pants can hold a lot of dung.
And get this. Oops, I crap my pants are biodegradable. Now, that's good for the environment.
Well, how do you know so much about oops, I crap my pants?
I'm wearing them, and I just did.
Thanks, oops, I crap my pants.
Visit your local pharmacist and just say, oops, I crap my pants. From Procter & Gamble.
Like I wasn't already freaked out enough about the norovirus.
Yeah.
Which makes you spew out of both ends.
Oh, no.
I'm not getting on a plane if I've got that. That's it's not happening.
We appreciate that.
Thanks.
Wow.
Didn't Gerard Depardieu? Which
Depardieu?
Didn't he poop on a plane? Or no, he peed. He peed.
He did something.
He couldn't. Something. He was drunk and he peed in an aisle.
Yeah, French people are always drunk. Sorry.
And now.
Except now he's Russian.
Oh, now let's review the Stephanie Miller Show. Wishes to apologize
to Gerard Depardieu.
To potheads. People who poop their pants, and the French. Thanks a lot. Entire hours.
Anything else?
What's my last name? It's French.
La Boite. That's what Siri calls you.
La Boite.
All right. Jim, you know what? I know you got excited for a minute. You can settle down. Paul Krugman is not going to be Secretary of the Treasury.
Damn it.
Yeah, reports were circulating that he would be nominated to replace Geithner. He says that while he's flattered to be considered a position in the Obama administration would result in his having less influence over policy than he does now, he said his managerial style leaves him unsuited to an executive role, and he said, oh, and there's not a chance I'd be confirmed.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. I know. Can you imagine? Right-wing heads just exploding.
Yeah.
Left and right. He said, by my reckoning, an administration job, no matter how senior, would actually reduce my influence, leaving me unable to say publicly what I really think. Mm-hmm. So, but it would have been just for the, speaking of people pooping their pants, just for that alone, it would have been exciting. All right. Chuck Hagel yesterday on his nomination as Secretary of Defense.
Mr. President, I'm grateful for this opportunity to serve our country again, and especially its men and women in uniform and their families. These are people who give so much to this nation every day with such dignity and selflessness. This is particularly important at a time as we complete our mission in Afghanistan and support the troops and military families who have sacrificed so much over more than a decade of war.
James Hormel, the former ambassador who we will have on later in the show, hour number three, he put out a statement. Senator Hagel's apology is significant. I can't remember a time when a potential presidential nominee apologized for anything. While the timing appears self-serving, the words themselves are unequivocal. They are a clear apology. Since 1998, 14 years have passed and public attitudes have shifted. Perhaps Senator Hagel has progressed with the times, too. His actions afford a new stature to LGBT constituency whose members are still treated as second-class citizens in innumerable ways. Senator Hagel stated in his remarks he was willing to support open military service and LGBT military families. If that commitment to treat LGBT service members and their families like everybody else, I would support his nomination. So we will talk to him about all of that.
Great.
As we continue. And Charlie Pierce coming up on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. CharliePierce@Esquire.com. coming up this hour. Next hour, Representative Adam Schiff to check in on the fiscal cliff, yada, 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 debt ceiling, Flavin.
Whatever.
Et cetera.
So it's a fiscal Schiff.
Right. To talk about the fiscal Schiff. That's exactly. He will be the fiscal Schiff this morning. And then former Ambassador James Hormel to talk about the Chuck Hagel nomination. Very, very exciting. Can I have some recipe music, please? Listener Linda in Minneapolis. Listen, people, I don't know how many more times I can answer the My Mom's Polish Sauerkraut recipe questions. It's a huge hit. Many, many listeners have made it. Your mom's sauerkraut recipe. Sorry. Steph, Happy New Year. I beg to differ with you and your mom on boiling the sauerkraut. Okay, listen to me, people. Just do what my mom says. It works out better. You boil it for like 20 minutes and then you put a little water in, you boil it for 20 minutes, you drain the water off, then you fry it with bacon fat and oil and, I don't know, mushrooms, onions, salt and pepper, dill. Dill is the magic ingredient. Okay. That's the whole deal. Isn't all sauerkraut already cooked? I can't understand why it should be boiled for 20 minutes. Wouldn't it turn to mush?
It's not.
Never mind the redundancy of it. No, Linda, just listen to my mother.
Sauerkraut is fermented. It's not cooked.
Right. I'm very confused on the issue. Please clarify. All right, I just did. Just do what my mother says.
Red cabbage.
About to turn 90, for God's sake.
I think it's cooked.
Well, yeah, red cabbage is cooked, but sauerkraut is a fermented cabbage. It's aged in oak barrels or something like that.
How dare she call my mother redundant?
Well,
all right.
This sauerkraut is too oaky.
All right. Anyway, Happy New Year's to all y'alls as well, by the way.
It's time to start the new year. It's time to do the show. It's time to get the story.
It's time to see who farted.
Man, it's time to get to the chopper.
On the most sensational, celebrational, sexy liberals.
Transformational.
This is it, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yahoo! Sorry. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Oh, speaking of sexy liberal, January 19th, it's coming up, kids. Sexy Liberal Palooza. Get those last tickets. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, Jim, Jackie opening the show for us. It's going to be a party, I tell you what. Melissa Fitzgerald just invited us all to a ball, some sort of big fancy ball. Not that kind, Jim. All right. Anyway, the point is
two huge celebrities
on panel for Sexy Liberal. John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler, and the whole Sexy Liberal contingent. Everybody will be at the Warner Theater January 19th. Get it? Go to sexyliberal.com or Sexy Liberal on Facebook. There's just one, right? One. Okay. So Jackie was talking at the top of the hour about the president. There was a story in the Post everybody's talking about gun legislation, et cetera. And right on time, America's craziest sheriff sends vigilantes to Arizona schools.
Great.
Joe Arpaio at it again. How many layers of bad idea is this, Jim? Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio will begin sending armed posses to patrol around Arizona schools today in response to the shooting at Sandy Hook. Less than a month ago,
he's
heeding the NRA's advice that every school needs a guy with a gun and is sending out volunteers with questionable pass to guard. What could possibly go wrong once again? Arpaio's volunteer force comprised of about 3,000 members, some of which have criminal pass.
Great.
Nicely done,
fantastic.
Sir. Nicely done.
Hey, kids, ever seen a grown man naked? You like films about gladiators?
Oh, dear. Wow. Okay, and right on target, a Republican in Newtown to Gabby Gifford, stay out of my towns. She just went to visit with
him. Yeah, wow.
Great.
Dickinson.
Who's this idiot?
Thanks for asking, Jim. Connecticut State Representative Deborah Lee Hovey, please and thank you, Republican, objected to a visit by Gabrielle Giffords with the families of the victims of Sandy Hook, telling her in a Facebook post, stay out of my towns. She continued, it was political. The lieutenant governor was there. Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal was there. And all political types know it's courteous to let sitting reps know when another political is in their district.
Oh, God.
So there was political motives. The visit was announced in advance. Moron, first
pay
of all.
Pay attention,
half-wit. Second of all, try being a human or something.
Actually, I'm giving you too much credit by calling her a half-wit.
Yes. Thank you. Twice too much. Twice too much. All right, so lots to get to on the big show today. Chuck Hagel yesterday on his nomination.
I'm also grateful for an opportunity to help continue to strengthen our country and strengthen our country's alliances and advance global freedom, decency, and humanity as we help build a better world for all mankind.
Mitch McConnell, I think we read a quote from him yesterday about how spectacular he found Chuck Hagel back before President Obama.
Yes, of course.
Nominated him, Mitch McConnell, yesterday.
I think it'll be a lot of tough questions of Senator Hagel, and but he'll be treated fairly by Republicans in the Senate.
We're fairly, by which I mean we'll just beat him up a little bit.
Senator John.
I might spit some lettuce at him.
Right. Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas.
I consider him to be an honorable man with a distinguished record of service, but also, at the same time, profoundly wrong on some of the biggest national security threats confronting the United States today. Uh-huh. He's a good man, but this is a wrong job for him because he's certainly outside of the national security mainstream.
What?
What? No, he's not. The vast majority of Americans want us out of Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. We don't want to bomb Iran.
Right.
And start World War III.
Out of the mainstream. Okay. Senator Dan Coats, Republican, Indiana.
I want to give Chuck Hagel, a former colleague, the opportunity to come and go face-to-face to answer these questions, these allegations, what I think are some serious questions.
Serious.
Do not perhaps qualify him for this position.
Seriously concerned. That Obama likes him. That's
what we're seriously concerned. This makes it very serious.
Very, very concerning. Very troubling. Troubling. I'm very troubled by the troubling accusations of concern.
That the man, that the troubling black man likes. Okay. I was mentioning that we will have James Hormel on next hour, who is the ambassador that Chuck Hagel made his comments about.
Right.
I mentioned this last hour, but Barney Frank dialing back his opposition. Saying he's willing to look past his comments about gays. It's more important that his views prevail on the drawing down the war in Afghanistan and reducing defense spending. He said, I was hoping the president wouldn't nominate him. As much as I regret what Hagel said and resent what he said, the question now is going to be Afghanistan and scaling back the military in terms of the policy stuff. If he would be rejected by the Senate, it would be a setback for those things. This is so Barney Frank. He said, with the attack coming out of the right, I hope he gets confirmed. Now Barney Frank likes him because the Republicans don't. All right. George in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, George.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Far be it for me to suggest that Joe Arpaio is an inconsistent blowhard, but in the aftermath of the tragic shooting of Gabby Giffords and the others at the shopping center, did he announce that he was sending posses of vigilantes to protect senators and congressmen when they have their meet and greets in their neighborhoods?
Yeah, no, he did not. Yeah, so that would, and thus your point about being an inconsistent blowhard.
Right.
All right. Oh, by the way, speaking of the gun debate, Alex Jones, who's always so well reasoned
and insightful
on these and other subjects, he's the creator of the Deport Piers Morgan petition.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that there was a petition. I didn't know that he was the creator.
Yes.
And, yeah.
So here he is having one of his typical reasoned discussions with Piers Morgan.
The Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand?
Wow. That's just like lay back and let him talk.
Yeah, that's what Piers did.
That was spectacular.
Are you quite finished? Really?
Piers Morgan was just kind of sitting there blinking and nodding and little smile on his face.
Spittle just all over his face. Ken in the Adirondacks. Hi, Ken.
You are quite mad,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, slight return. You guys are too
You're
quick.
Barking mad.
He was in the world.
What's
hey,
that?
Look at Chuck Hagel, Department of Defense. He's exactly the right guy for the job. I was in Vietnam with him.
Oh.
Department of Offense, like Bush ran with the neocons for 8 years? No way. He's the wrong guy. I agree with the Republicans. That's all I had to say.
Yep. Oh, all right. He'll take no further questions.
Nicely done.
All right. Thank you. Speaking, by the way, the Supreme Court will hear gay marriage from March 26th and 27th. They've scheduled oral arguments. Shush. They will hear oral arguments on two subsequent days in March. On March 26th, they will hear arguments on Prop 8, California's Prop 8, followed by the case of DOMA on March 27th. So very, very exciting. And we're going to be all over that like a cheap suit.
Yep.
with people reporting for us that will be in the courtroom. And
speaking of which, if we're going to be invited to a ball in D.C., it means we have to bring good clothes.
Yeah, I'm not. Yes. I'm probably going to decline that invite.
You're
yeah.
losers. Okay. That's fine.
We have to get fitted for a suit.
I don't wear tuxes well.
You are really.
Why would I want to go to a ball like that?
I can't dress you up or take you out.
No, Mooks, why would I want to go
you
to
You know what? Mooks don't travel well. Mooks don't. All right. Oh, you know what else? Guess what else it's going to be that day, Inauguration Weekend. Pro-gun groups are planning Gun Appreciation Day for January 19th.
Fantastic.
Inauguration Weekend. Oh.
Yeah, but D.C. has strict gun laws, so what are they going to...
A coalition of pro-gun groups, and that sounds like fun. They're emulating the anti-gay marriage activists who made Chick-fil-A. Into it, remember that, the Chick-fil-A yeah. Appreciation Day, mm-hmm. that whole thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The group is asking supporters to turn out in droves at gun stores, gun counters, gun shows, and gun ranges to protest what they see as government overreach in the wake of the Sandy Hook.
Yeah, how many people
Except that
were,
the government has done nothing right. thus far. So I'm not sure why, how that would be government overreach.
Okay.
Yes. Imagine if
Guns
ever,
don't
if,
kill people. Imagine, chicken kills people.
Right, imagine if they ever did something. Then
yeah.
That would really be overreachy. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce coming up and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com, coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Sharon in Illinois. Hey, Sharon.
Hi. Bill Kristol of the Weekly Standard.
Uh-huh.
Was on talking about he's going to reshape the Republican Party, and he's been talking to people and blah, blah, blah. He has some ideas. I don't know.
Bill Kristol, who's been wrong about everything ever?
Well, yes. I don't know who these people think they are. I don't know who the Republicans think they are. They never talk about helping the American people or anything good about our country. It's always war. It's always warmongering. And now they're saying the mainstream is very much like them. And we're not. Nobody's ever liked war. I don't know why. They probably only got in because of money. And I'm sure whoever picks what war, you know, they want is the richest person in their group. And we're really sick of it. They think the Americans are stupid. We've just put up with too much. That's
yep.
all.
Yep, I
and,
hear you.
Those Republicans got to go. So,
all right.
You.
All right, honey. Thank you. All right. Damn gerrymandering.
Yeah.
Why I ought to have had a rock-eyed. Hey, Jim, here's an idea. You were just bitching about you don't want to go to an inaugural ball because mm-hmm. you don't want to have to pack a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story before the holidays? Frugal Flyer puts on every article of clothing in his luggage
right.
to avoid paying baggage fee. Just wear your gym clothes, wear your regular
MOOC
clothes, and then wear your suit, your tuxedo over it. Why not?
That way, if there's explosive decompression, you won't be cold.
Right.
Well, there's that.
Right. Security agents counted some 70 pieces of clothing, which included as many 60 shirts and 9 pairs of jeans.
Huh.
Nicely done, sir.
That could be difficult if you're trying to go use the facilities.
Yes.
If you're Al Roker, I don't recommend
Even getting
it.
Through the door could be a problem, let alone...
Or even standing inside that tiny little
yeah.
room.
All right. Just saying. It's a, you know, he's a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of which, woman fights to keep Christmas light display, extending the middle finger to her neighbors.
Oh,
sure.
She'd
it's Christmas spirit.
Right. She put up a display of... The holidays may be over, but she wants to keep her unusual light display on her roof, showing an extended middle finger to her neighbors. She says she put up the roof message in November because she believed the neighbor stole her dog. I would do this. I would do this if this were me. She says police threatened her with fines and arrests because of the lights. She and the ACLU have sued the city and the police. Free speech.
Okay, then.
All righty.
Just saying. All right. Kids, I don't know what's going to happen with this... there's a lot of speculation about what's going to go on with it. We're going to talk to Adam Schiff, the fiscal Schiff, as Jim calls him, Adam Schiff, next hour about what's going to happen with this
yeah.
with this next debt ceiling thing. But the headline is cracks emerge in GOP debt limit offensive.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. He's accused. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid have both implored the president to ignore the debt limit if Republicans refuse to increase it by citing the 14th Amendment. I'm not sure, you know, I'll have to ask the fiscal chief about that, but I think the White House does not think that that is constitutional, but we'll see what he thinks. Another, as you mentioned yesterday, Jim, another outside-the-box idea is the coin.
The trillion-dollar coin. You don't want to leave that in your pants.
No.
Right.
If you're, you know, say, taken to the dry cleaners.
Right.
What coin? There is no coin.
Coin. That the administration should exploit a legal loophole allowing the Treasury Secretary to order the minting of platinum's coins or a coin. And I think, who was it yesterday that said this could spawn, how many heist movies or Ocean's 14s would we see about this? About somebody trying to steal the coin.
Or late night infomercials, you know, the ones that sell those really, those awful painted coins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
President Obama has won the election. Now you can get a coin commemorating it.
It sounds like Jiminy Glick.
Yes. Anyway, that would make the funds available upon deposit. They would be worth trillions of dollars to meet federal obligations. That's a wacky idea, but Republicans are a wacky party at this point, so who knows. However, there's been signals. Boehner now envisions a fight playing out in a series of weeks-long increases in the debt limit. Won't that be fun? We can have a debt ceiling crisis every week now.
Great.
An admission that Obama won't agree to hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars in spending cuts outright. So that's, and then Newt Gingrich, as everyone was talking about, has warned Republicans their strategy will ultimately collapse. So he warned against it. If cracks are forming in the Republicans' offensive, Democrats don't have to resort to unconventional means of circumventing the debt limit, according to Talking Points memo, is what they're saying. So, you know, we'll see what Adam Schiff thinks about how this, because he knows a little something about a little something.
He does.
He's on a financial something committee of something.
Type deal.
Right. I'll check it out before he gets here. Bob in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Listen, every time somebody wants to put guns in school and give them to the teachers, the janitors, and the principals, why don't you just respond to them by saying Fort Hood? Didn't thousands of people have hundreds of guns, small, medium, and large, in training? How come so many people died at Fort Hood at the hands of one shooter?
Columbine?
Guns are the solution.
Yep, Columbine. Also, there was an armed guard, you know, and the teach, that's like just a ridiculous idea.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I have something the other actors don't. A secret weapon. My sexuality.
Oh, God.
Stephanie Miller.
When has that ever worked?
When has it not worked?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Yay, Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Your stuff was great this week at Esquire,
I wanted to turn into current TV to see what you all look like in burkas.
Let's see what you did there.
Oh, I can't get enough of those jokes. Okay, Charlie.
Which way is Mecca?
Oh, I'm willing to bet you can. Shall we try?
Oh, boy.
Charlie Pierce, what?
Yes.
Hello. You recognize the same thing I did. I love Maureen Dowd generally, but you were talking about her piece this week about how Biden must translate Obama for the normal people and blah blah blah, and you say
for postmenopausal Irish people of both sexes, yes.
So you say, just call him uppity and get over with it, will you? Then you can get back to your real work of feminizing Obambi again. I don't get her whole take on that.
That's been a tick of hers for many, many years, and it's grown overly annoying, and it's time to grow up a little bit. No more sprawling across staircases in Rolling Stone.
And then I can't say his name.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
You also read the same piece I did in the Times. I can't say his name. Ross Douthat? Is that his name?
Doubt that?
Doubt that?
You change it from home, you don't play that.
I think it's Doothat, but Doothat? I'm not sure. It opens itself to really an almost altogether unpleasant series of puns.
Yes,
it does.
But, I had the same reaction you did, that you said, ultimately His Eminence gets around to giving credit to Boner for being good at his job as the concierge in Bedlam while trying to pretend that it's everyone else's fault, the Congressional Republicans, Congressional Republicans are an exaltation of loons. How anybody can say that that's doing a good job, I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, the man is desperate. The man has spent his entire young career looking for sensible Republicans, and unfortunately he's done it in an era when Republicans are insane.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly.
As we are seeing on, a number of levels right now.
Yeah, well, and you picked a winner this week that I've noticed too is, what's her name? You say, watch out for this Heidi Heitkamp person.
Oh, I've seen her.
Yikes.
She's a Joe Lieberman who goes ice fishing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes, as you say, a permafrosted Joe Lieberman, yes.
Yeah, but I thought of a better one between then and now.
No, but you picked out the same thing I was thinking, how she kept saying, you put everything, that's what you do in America, you put everything on the table, you don't rule anything out, and you say, actually, I do rule some things out. I rule out voucherizing Medicare, privatizing Social Security, declaring war on Iran, making firearms mandatory for school teachers, to name just three ideas. And you talk about if you've been to some small-town meetings, obviously.
Well, yeah. I mean, anyone who's covered city government knows that whenever you hear, like, a national politician talk about how they do it at city government, that national politician hasn't been to city government for a while. Because there's always, like, three nuts who show up every city council meeting who think their brains are being controlled by fluoridated water. You don't have to engage these people in dialogue. You just have to make sure you don't let them get near the silverware.
Sporks. Yeah. Rubber sporks.
Yeah.
I've got a spork here, and I know how to use it.
And as you say, she was mentioning, she said, there's people who run for these jobs who want the job, and then there's people who want to do the job, and we just need to get to work. And as you say, well, aren't you special, as opposed to that lazy showboating slob Bernie Sanders who's out there trying to keep the tattered safety net together with his teeth while you're planning ice cream socials with the crazy people. I know.
Yeah, we got to keep an eye on this one, because this. Yeah. I mean, as much as I like having Democrats get elected from North Dakota, I mean, Harry Reid's going to have to take her in hand, as they used to say.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I didn't say it, of course. They used to.
No.
Say it.
No. Well, what obviously got the most attention is what she said about guns, right?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, she came on later and said that the whatever that trial balloon was that floated out from the Biden committee over the weekend, made into the Washington Post.
Right.
She said that some of those ideas, quote, shouldn't even be talked about.
Right.
And I thought, wait a minute, didn't we just talk about how everything should be on the table?
Yes, but nothing about guns. Yeah, I love
that. Absolutely nothing about controlling firearms. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heidi,
but everything should be on the table.
What kind of a small town did you grow up in?
Yeah, they can't even be talked about, those ideas. And I love that you say she's a lifetime member of the NRA with 100% rating. She's one of those millions of responsible gun owners who nonetheless can't seem to keep the National Governing Board of their organization free from sociopaths.
Yeah, isn't it about time, by the way? I mean, I keep hearing about all these people who are responsible gun owners.
Yeah.
If you don't want the NRA to speak for you,
right,
then either don't belong to it or take it over.
Right, or at least point out that Wayne LaPierre is a lunatic.
Right. I mean, I've been making this point, and Joy Reid, God love her, has been making this point on the TV shows that I don't get invited on. Bitterness.
Aww.
But in any event, I mean, she's been making this point all along. The NRA doesn't represent gun owners anymore. It represents the people who make guns.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't want to sell guns.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if there was actually a gun owners organization, wasn't wearing camo and living on a compound in Idaho, you'd actually see some progress, but there isn't one.
Right.
I mean, the only operating force on that side of the argument is the NRA, and the NRA has put a public face out, and it's Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah.
And I mean, the people those of us on the other side, we can't do anything about that. It's completely up to the people in the organization.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I guess we could all join. I mean, that's a theory I think Bill Maher first produced. Is that all the liberals should join the NRA and then vote out the governing board.
Ooh, I kind of like that idea. So you also...
Plus, they have cool stickers, and, I don't know how many guys there have actually fired a gun. I got to admit, when you fire a gun, like at a range,
yes.
It's fun.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It really is pretty
cool. It is kind of fun.
I hate it.
I missed the target completely, but it is fun.
Cry.
Yeah.
Well, I did okay. It was funny. I did okay with the pistol. Then they gave me, like, the semi-auto. And I think I I missed by an area code.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very good thing that it was like a cement tube I was shooting in, because otherwise I would have, like, brought down an inbound, you know, 747. The thing just went straight up in the air. The thing went straight up in the air while I was shooting it.
You know, this could be a girl thing, but I told the story last week. Last Christmas, I shot a gun once, and I started crying, and I left. So
I mean, people react in different ways, but I think the point is that you react.
We do.
When people talk about
you get a reaction.
Being,
we know how Al Roker
talk about
would
gun,
react.
You know, guns being just another thing, and you know, guns don't kill. No, when you have a gun in your hand and you shoot it, it has some effect.
It releases
on
some adrenaline.
Center, exactly.
Yeah.
Some center of your brain.
Boys,
it really does.
Boys like things that go off in their hands.
No, I mean it can react.
I
mean, it can
I really
react
see
badly
your point.
To it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All
you
right.
Can react badly to it, but the point is you do
right.
react.
Yep, I hear you. Now you mentioned the same thing I have as these.
I don't want you carrying a gun either, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Trust me, you do not. You were mentioning.
Although back when you were on the show with Babe Buchanan, that might have been made.
Yeah.
My show might still be on.
There
the
were days I wished I was armed. Yes. So you've talked about there's a particular Arizona Republican that was waxing nostalgic for the last time Republican meatheads shut the government down. I heard Republican Ted Cruz saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the good old days back when?
Well,
yeah.
that's something that Newt Gingrich was pushing a little bit on the campaign trail this year, that it was
right.
the government shutdown that forced Bill Clinton's hand to do blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, Gingrich has to believe that. Otherwise, he has to confront the fact that he's not a very good politician and Bill Clinton cleaned his clock.
Yep.
But, you know, but the other guys don't have to ascribe to it. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
And by the way, it happened at a time when the United States economy was doing reasonably well.
Well, that's what you point out. You say it shouldn't be too much to expect me to notice. It's no longer 1995. There's no tech boom or housing bubble on the immediate horizon. And the shutting down the government in the middle of a perilously weak recovery is like trying to increase the acceleration of your car by firing a flare into your gas tank. And that is it's a good analogy, but I mean, it's really true. This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't around. It ain't 1995 anymore.
Are we done? Because
yes.
We were at CBGB's there for a while.
Yeah, we were.
Okay. Speaking
no,
of,
there's a recklessness in the air. And the only promising thing I see is that some of the Republican leaders would like there to be a Republican Party in 10 years. That isn't, you know, totally, you know, that you can't put all the membership of in one church, you know, are looking around saying, you know, maybe this is something we should monkey with this time. But who knows? I mean,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you have to be a fool to presume you know who's driving the train there right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, and you pointed out the same thing we did about, as you call it, Disco Dave's disco dance party, Meet the Press.
Yeah.
He may have struck the perfect balance between sucking up to people who should have been long and more ignored and booking people who should have been long forgotten. For instance, Carly Fiorino. I don't get why they keep booking Carly Fiorino.
I mean, I don't know if, you know, if it's a Jack Welch thing, you know, you know, the fellowship of, you know, nasty, not entirely competent former CEOs, you know, has a monthly meeting and they get together and she goes on. She has nothing to contribute to anything. She was a failure as a CEO, except to do a failure at anything except getting herself rich.
Right.
She completely failed as a politician.
Yeah. And you say she was talking about how she negotiated deals and that it has to be a win-win and the willingness to treat your opponents with respect. And you say, yeah, after she got fired from Hewlett-Packard, she cut herself a real win-win. She got $21 million severance. $21 million in stock options, and of course, 30,000 workers lost their jobs. Right.
But I'm sure she did it with respect.
Right. Respectfully, you're all fired. Right.
Yeah. With all due respect, clean out your desk in 15 minutes.
Exactly. And then my favorite this week has got to be Paul Ryan is not a serious person, part the infinity, because he voted against, of course, Sandy relief, right?
Yeah.
You say he voted to keep people sleeping in their minivans because that's for their own good and the good of the country. And, of course, back in 2008 when flooding, flooded portions of the Midwest, including his district, of course, you said the zombie eyes had it, baby, and he made sure that his constituents knew where they could find the sweet government checks.
I mean, if there were only some device where you could go back and check what politicians have said before. Oh, wait, there is.
Oh, wait. And you said
my research partner, Mr. Google, is right here.
Yeah, as you say, no. And people wonder why Joe Biden kept laughing at him.
I actually ran the clip again because I went back and watched that debate. May be my favorite part of the entire presidential campaign.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing to me that Joe Biden doesn't drink because he's got the perfect barroom personality.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
He looks like he spent his entire life arguing things in barrooms. And it's enormously likable.
I know it is. It really is. Charlie Pierce, great stuff. Epic stuff at Esquire.com.
So what's the story in Washington?
What are you talking about?
When's the show?
What's that?
When's the show?
Oh, January 19th, inauguration weekend.
Aha. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'll be there, as will my wife.
Awesome. Hooray! We will see you for the big party.
Where are you performing? It's not
the
at
Warner.
Theater, not at Ford's Theater or something.
Not Ford's Theater,
dear,
no.
At the Warner.
The Warner?
Yes.
Oh, is that where the Folger Shakespeare Company? No, it's probably not.
No, it's, it's the fancy one. Love you, Charlie Pierce. See you then.
For sooth, I will see you later.
All right.
Hooray!
Here's we 46 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I'm a breathy boy, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I want to do bad things with you. Okay.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HE Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. You can even present from your iPad now. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Brian Fisher on the American Family Radio program on the gun debate.
They picked the word assault weapon to make it sound bad, to make it sound mean. They're trying to say the Second Amendment does not protect assault weapons. I say exactly the reverse. That's exactly what it protects. That's exactly what it was designed to protect. What? It was designed to protect the right of the American people to keep and bear arms, the same kind of arms, rifles, assault weapons, military-style weapons that were used to defeat the British. They just used their hunting rifles and used them to defend their independence. And so the Second Amendment is exactly designed to protect assault rifles. That's just nothing more than a fancy-pants hunting rifle.
No, it's
not. Fancy-pants hunting
fancy
rifle.
Pants.
It is not the they used in the Revolution.
You had to load the ball down the barrel of the rifle, tamp it down, you know, after pouring the powder in there, and you have got one shot. There's no comparison between a musket or flintlock.
Brian Fisher doesn't know how guns work.
We're just trying to make some guns sound mean, y'all.
The whole point of assault rifles is to kill a lot of people very quickly.
Yes. Okay. Wow. That was just completely historically inaccurate in every way. All right. Steve Ducey and the guest on the Fox and Friends.
I think you, like a lot of people, Joshua, are worried that the federal government's going to come after our guns.
Right.
It's something we've seen happen time and time again in history with Stalin, happen in Cambodia, and then, of course, the Third Reich.
Of course.
No one saw that coming until it was too late.
No one saw that coming.
Yep.
God.
See Obama just like
Obama,
Hitler.
Just like Hitler.
Just like Hitler.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's
Pol Pot.
Doing. Okay, then. All right. Wow, she's quite a little history lesson thus far in right-wing world, isn't it?
God.
Okay, Gretchen Carlson and Donald Trump.
Wonder if John Boehner or other members of Congress have reached out to expert negotiators like yourself and others to see if they could get any advice. I mean, did you ever get any phone calls about anything?
You know the truth. It's not really about expert negotiators. This is almost common sense. This is nothing
almost
to do with negotiation. This is like basic 101 common sense.
What?
Expert negotiators like Trump.
That went bankrupt
with
a casino.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough to do. Okay, guest host Larry O'Connor?
Yes.
I don't.
He was guest hosting for Dennis Miller.
Oh, imagine.
On the Dennis Miller
that's
radio show.
Well, that's got to be a deep bench there.
Yeah.
And Louis Gohmert.
So basically, John Boehner became Nancy Pelosi without the charm.
For the last 2 years.
Now, Representative Gohmert...
And let's give him credit. You know, there's no facelift with John Boehner.
Oh.
I see, that's the bar for the fill-in humor on the...
Wow.
Okay. Newt Gingrich on Meet the Press.
I helped close the government twice. It actually worked. Bill Clinton came in and said the era of big government's over after two closures, not before. We got reelected for the first time since 1928, and I would argue we would never have gotten to a balanced budget, and we would never have gotten welfare reform without that fight. So I think if the congressional Republicans want to say, you're going to have a really hard time with continuing resolution, that's perfectly legitimate.
So he's taking credit for the economic recovery in the 90s.
Right, because he shut the government down. Right, and that shook Bill Clinton up. He really cleaned Bill Clinton's clock on that.
And he said that he would not take responsibility for the catastrophe that's going to happen because of Bill Clinton's tax increases. And when it worked, of course, he took credit for it. Look what we did.
Oh. You know, Charlie Pierce pointed this out. This is a thing now. This is another headline. Republican senator calls for a repeat of 1995 government shutdown. If we hold strong, we can do that again.
Yeah.
He's a Tea Partier, this guy, Ted Cruz. He's during an appearance on Mark Levin's radio show.
Oh,
the
great.
Delightful Mark Levin. He waxed poetic about the last time Republicans successfully shut down the government in 1995, arguing that a shutdown leads to better economic policies. Said because Republicans stood strong in 1995,
right.
We saw year after year of balanced budgets. We went on to call for a repeat of it as Republicans hold the nation's fiscal sovereignty hostage in the debt ceiling fight next month. He said, if we hold strong, we can do it again. Wouldn't that be fun?
What do you mean we, Kimo Sabe?
Yeah.
It was Bill Clinton's tax increases on the rich that helped the economy.
Here are the not-so-fun facts. If we did that again, over 800,000 federal workers would likely be furloughed. Social Security processing would be delayed. Newly eligible Medicare patients wouldn't be able to obtain benefits. Police and public safety officials could be cut, and veteran services would be impacted. In addition, the debt ceiling negotiation in itself is costly. Last time, remember when they did it in 2011? It cost us $19 billion for the fiscal conservatives to put on their little show.
Yeah. I don't think Everett Dirksen would be okay with that.
He actually said on Fox News recently, I don't think what Washington needs is more compromise. No, they've done so much of that already. They need to do less. That's
more gridlock. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. That's what we need now.
Stand your ground.
Okay. And for dessert, Rush Limbaugh.
African Americans today can be convinced that they are still slaves. Jamie Foxx does it every day. Samuel L. Jackson, Reverend Jackson, all of you, try to make the case that there's still slavery in this country. Well, middle class is made to believe every day that at one point they were rich, but the rich came along and screwed them out of everything.
Hmm. Eric Bollard is right. He's sounding a little dispirited.
Yeah.
He's sort of grasping for straws. Really? Okay. All right. If you say so. Mike in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Morning, all.
Good morning.
Yep. Just wanted to use your air to launch a little trial balloon. If the Constitution says that the debt of the United States shall not be questioned, and we have a bunch of Tea Party crazies trying to take us hostage and turn us all into deadbeats by questioning the debt of the United States, are they not violating their constitutional oath, and are they not subject to impeachment?
Well, you know, actually, my first thought would be yes. My first thought would be yes. My second thought was, can we do that?
Computer says no.
Probably not, sadly.
No.
James in Mobile, Alabama, real quick. Hey, James. Hi, James.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, hey, Stephanie. We went to different high schools together. I'm a Vietnam veteran, 100% disabled, with PTSD. And I struggle with this because prior to that, I was an NRA member and a hunter. And we were always told never to take a second shot. These 30, 50, 100-round clips are insane.
Yep, I hear you. Yeah, absolutely. 58 minutes after the hour, the fiscal Schiff next. Representative Adam Schiff on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Former Ambassador James Hormel coming up at the bottom of the hour. Talking about the Chuck Hagel nomination. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. I'm guessing he's really going to like his new name, Jim, as the fiscal Schiff. Representative Adam Schiff joins us now from the great state of California. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fiscal Schiff. You know, the fancy committee, I just remembered, you're on the House Appropriations Committee, so you know a little something about a little something here. Let's talk about this next debt ceiling fight. What I mean, obviously we're hearing the same noise that we did last time from the right.
We are, and I think the president is exactly right to try to put a stop to
say that basically he won't play that game over the debt limit. This is holding the full faith and credit of the United States hostage to what some of the GOP members want. We've never done that up until last year. Neither party has. And it's so destructive of the economy. It literally gave our GDP a hit. It cost us billions of dollars last time that we don't have. So if they want to fight over shutting down the government, they want to repeat what they did in 94, that's up to them. This can't be on the table. The debt limit just can't be something that we periodically bring the country to the brink over.
Well, in Representative, we were just talking about how whether it's Newt Gingrich or some of these Republicans literally waxing nostalgic for the last time they shut down the government. And it, not only, was that a disaster for them politically, we were saying this isn't 1995 anymore. We are in a weak recovery, are we not?
Well, that's exactly right. And it is astounding to hear them talk with such fondness about the idea of shutting down government. It didn't turn out that well for them last time. It's not what they should be talking about now. They should be talking about trying to find a way to work together to solve our common economic challenges. That's what the American people clearly want. It's what they voted for in the election. But they seem to have learned the wrong lesson from the fiscal cliff, or feel like they got such a bad deal in that they need to try to make up for double in the next one. But I think that will be just disastrous if they do.
Well, obviously, we've heard Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid talking about the 14th Amendment. We've heard about this the trillion-dollar coin idea. I mean, are either of those going to be necessary, do you think?
I don't think the president is going to use either. I certainly hope it's not necessary in the sense of us going over the debt limit and having that kind of economic catastrophe. But the president really has ruled both of those, at least he's ruled the 14th Amendment out, and I think the trillion-dollar coin seems a little too gimmicky.
Yeah.
So we have to find a way to get past this, and I have to think that as we come up to the brink again, that the only other constituency that the GOP leadership really listens to, and that's the, the titans of industry, they will weigh in with the speaker and say, look, you do this and you're going to lose all of our support because this will just be crushing economically. So fight over what you want, but not over the debt limit.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the fiscal cliff deal that we just did? Were you happy?
No, I wasn't happy. I don't think anyone can say they were really happy about it. I am pleased that we got new revenue, although I think in some provisions it was far more generous than I felt comfortable with, particularly the estate tax, but also on the income tax provisions. And we're going to have to raise revenues again as we entertain new spending cuts. The president has committed to that, and it's the only fiscally sound way to go forward. But it is going to be that much more difficult after the first fiscal cliff deal. But by and large, we extended unemployment compensation. We did raise revenues. We didn't make cuts to entitlements. So we accomplished a lot of at least part of the objectives that we had. But we did kick the can down the road in terms of dealing with some of the broader fiscal challenges.
John Boehner told the Wall Street Journal that now that tax increases are dealt with, the defense cut and the deal don't scare him. He says he has significant Republican support for letting the defense cuts take effect. He said, I got that in my back pocket. The sequester is as much leverage as we're going to get to force Democrats to cut entitlement spending. Is he bluffing? Or?
I'm probably bluffing, but not by much. I think that if they're willing to shut down the government, if they're willing to put the nation's credit in default, then they probably think, yeah, certainly we're willing to have those defense cuts and the across-the-board other cuts. So I think they are willing to do it. How long they would be willing to stick with it is another question. But I really don't put anything past them at this point.
Yeah. Boy, this will be fun to go through this all again, won't it?
Well, it's awful. And as you say, we're in the midst of a slow but steady recovery. This is the last thing we need. But I do think that the issues that we're going to confront in this round are really much more difficult than the fiscal cliff issues were. So as difficult as it was to get the yes then, it's going to be very, very hard now.
Representative, let's turn to another subject. The president obviously is starting to talk about serious gun legislation for the first time. What do you think? How is that going to play out?
Well, I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. We just can't go through appalling tragedy after appalling tragedy and sit on our hands when we could do something about it. So I expect the Vice President's task force will come up with a series of recommendations, some dealing directly with guns like the assault rifle ban and extended ammunition clips, trying to deal with the not just the gun show loophole, which I think is a bit of a misnomer, the loophole that allows everyone but retailers to sell guns without doing background checks. All those issues I think will be part of the package, but more broadly, health care reforms and other gun safety and neighborhood safety legislation to try to protect Americans from this this wealth of gun violence. One of the pieces that I'm going to be working on in particular is the immunity that the gun industry enjoys that no other industry has. Retailers, distributors, manufacturers, they can act in a negligent way, and because of legislation that Congress passed, they're held immune and from any kind of liability in court, and that just makes no sense either.
Yep.
So a lot to change, and I think yep. we will. It's going to be tough, but I think we'll get it done.
Representative, let's turn to the Chuck Hagel nomination for Secretary of Defense. What is your what's your position on that?
I'm going to be very interested to see what he says during the confirmation process, and I'm reserving judgment. Some of the things that he has said concern me a great deal. The comments he made about Ambassador Hormel, certainly very concerning. I also want to know why he didn't support legislation dealing with Iran and some of the other issues that have been raised. He may have good answers to some of those questions. He may have apologies for others. And I think we ought to give him his day to answer some of those very tough questions. And we'll see how he handles it. That's really, I think, going to be key for many senators who are at the moment reserving judgment.
Well, I don't know if you heard me say we're going to talk to Ambassador Hormel at the bottom of the hour, and he released he released a statement in support, mm-hmm. saying that he, accepts his apology about his. The comments were 14 years ago, so I do feel like
a lot of people have changed.
We've progressed since then. I think a lot of people. Does it concern you regarding Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or anything else?
Well, it does concern me, but they're not objections that can't be overcome. But I think the testimony will be revealing, and we'll get a chance to see, has he changed his views as he has represented, or when he's probed deeply, does he have some hard-held views that are difficult to conceal that are nonetheless there?
Right.
That might impede the swift execution of the new policy in the military and allowing people to serve openly. An end to discrimination in the military. So, I'm hoping for the best, certainly. I hope that he comes through with really a more thorough apology and acknowledgement than he's done thus far. That also his views really have changed, as a great many Americans have.
Well, and I think that I would be more concerned even in terms of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. If it seems like, honestly, thus far it's gone off without a hitch, don't you think? I mean, it seems like there's been zero disturbance regarding it, from what we can tell.
Well, it really has. It's quite wonderful, and should be not that surprising either. But given the opposition there was for many years, it is wonderful how swiftly it's been implemented and how little problem resistance has been.
Well, who knows? They may even give gays radio shows some days. You never know. You never know what might happen.
Wait a minute.
Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California. Thank you so much, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you bet. Great
All right.
to talk to
All right. There he goes. What the deuce you say?
Yes.
Never happened.
I just moved, and I believe that I am in Representative Schiff's district now.
Hey. Well, welcome.
Thank you. Now, about that pothole.
Exactly. Yeah. Kelly in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. I heard that John Boehner said he needed his job like a hole in the head.
Yes.
And I think that's just awful. I mean, we give him the honor of, his job. He's supposed to be working for us.
Right.
And it just sounded, talk about cocky and entitled. I don't want to hear anything. Entitlement should only mean Republican because they act like they're entitled to everything. And I think they're just whining. They're spoiled. Yeah. They've never been without power before.
Yeah.
And they're spoiled. They're looking for that money to help them out. And if America takes over and says it's the way we want it, Boehner just, he needs to get out of there if he feels that way about his job.
I think he should go back to working in a chamber.
Okay, yeah, what happened to get all blubbery about his job? I thought he was all honored and stuff.
It was a great honor to really talk.
That's not so much anymore.
No.
Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, we do have James Hormel and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
How bizarre.
Stephanie Miller.
How bizarre. That this song was a hit. How bizarre. How bizarre.
How bizarre. It is. 21 minutes after the hour. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Former Ambassador James Hormel coming up at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Chuck Hagel nomination.
Yep.
Sean in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the right wing, the new right wing meme that Obama equals Hitler regarding guns. Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to basically state that it's not quite accurate when they say that. That like Nazi Germany had this gun control. What it was is that, of course, when they started deeming people as non-citizens, then those people are enemies of the state. Then what happened? Those people were not allowed guns. But for people who are citizens or party members, it became quite easy to purchase weapons.
Sure.
And right. So the thing is that, you know, when you have these nut jobs saying, oh, well, they had gun control, you know, it's not there, because the thing is that no one has ever said that a portion of our population can't become a licensed gun owner, have a hunting rifle.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, these are
the other thing,
so invalid.
Sean, is, right. Nobody's, suggestions have ever included going to get anybody's guns. It's, you know,
exactly.
Changing the existing laws to including loopholes, right?
Yeah, people had to be declared non-persons first before they were
right.
Denied.
Yeah, and the thing is, you have to understand, these people are nuts. They really, they think they've watched The Omega Man once too many times, and they believe they're going to be Charlton Heston driving around in a convertible Mustang, like fending off from, night zombies and stuff. So it's
right.
Really...
What
like,
happened?
Walking Dead, we're just...
Yeah.
A couple years away from that breaking out. And then this is
and
the
I love the guy in Right Wing World that said that assault weapons are the same guns we used in the American Revolution.
No.
Yeah. Why don't we, let's bring back muskets, and then I'm fine with anybody
exactly.
Having a musket if they want.
Yeah, that's the point. If somebody had to, stop to put the powder in the ball in
right.
The next spree shooting he went on, he wouldn't have too much luck. I mean,
exactly.
It goes beyond. I mean, there's no one proposing that and that's the point. We're, Canada, they have, they're hunters up there. I know people who are Canadians who, we have guns. It's just
right.
That you have to be licensed. Semi-automatic weapons aren't allowed. It's just over the top.
Yeah.
And the problem
and
is
by the
light...
way, they were all standing there in a bright, in a row with bright red jackets on. I mean, if they had actually had assault weapons, it would have been over even sooner, right?
Oh, Just remember, these people are crazed and extremists to such a high degree. You go to almost any country. There are hunters in Britain and all around the world. They just, to get a license, it's more difficult. That's all.
Yep, absolutely. I've always wondered that, Jim, about the revolution. Do you think anyone in the British forces ever...
Perhaps we should not wear these bright red jackets.
Perhaps we... Has anyone thought if we should try hiding?
Perhaps we should hide behind a tree, rather than standing out in the open.
Maybe that's why their empire kind of folded.
Ah.
Maybe even just a mall.
Quite.
Maybe something not quite so bright.
What is that? The character? Quite. Dr. Phineas
right.
J. Whoopi?
Oh.
Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, you lovers. Hello. Oh, mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling to talk about Chuck Hagel, if it's okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Great. I love the way you're describing the way John McCain and Lindsey Graham are like these media whores.
Right. Right.
Sorry, but that's what they are, and they go on all every weekend, and they've been talking about Chuck Hagel, and it's troubling to them. Well,
it's troubling.
It's
very
so
troubling.
Transparent always. Chuck Hagel endorsed Mr. Obama in 2008, and it's always so transparent.
Yep.
And I don't think that between John McCain and Lindsey Graham, I just don't think they can quit each other.
Yes.
And I'm sorry to be such a jerk about it, but they're
yep.
just such jerks,
yep.
And it's transparent. We've got to get... Why are these people still being interviewed on these Sunday shows?
Yeah, they're always, you're absolutely right. They're always very troubled, Jim. Always very troubled. Very troubling. Susan Rice, very troubling. Chuck Hagel now is very troubling. Was not troubling.
Now suddenly he's troubling. Because he's tight with Obama.
He was
so.
Not troubling during the Bush administration, but now he's very troubling.
We're very troubled about the troublesome troublingness. He's trouble.
Clearly he is.
Trouble in River City.
Right?
Yes.
Totally. Okay. We played a little Donald Trump in Right Wing World. NBC chairman issued a warning to Donald Trump at the Critics Association thing out here. He said, we live in this country where you can say anything you want as long as you're not harming other people. He has a political belief system, but I don't really think what he's doing in his personal life is going to corrupt what he's doing on the show. If he, I love this. If he becomes somehow hurtful or says and does things that cross the line, we'd figure out what to do with that. Oh, now? Now a warning.
Now a warning?
Now he might say
something. Now a warning?
I see. He hasn't said anything yet that would be objectionable in any way. To... Wow. Doesn't he call, like, Rosie O'Donnell a pig and for every other week?
Yeah, if you don't leave me alone, I'm going to start getting offensive. Hugely offensive.
Start.
Okay. I cannot wait to see this film. The Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace film.
It's going to be an HBO film.
Yes.
And who's playing Liberace?
I'll get to that. Oh, Michael Douglas is Liberace. Matt Damon is his young lover.
Lover.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry, what were you thinking? You're thinking, what, Liberace was gay? What?
I wish my brother George was here.
Director Steven Soderbergh told the New York Post that his recent Liberace movie, Behind the Candelabra, was too gay. Too gay for Hollywood?
Really?
Is that possible?
Yeah.
He said nobody would make it. We went to everybody in town. So, yeah, now it's going to HBO. He said he was stunned no one in Hollywood would take the project. He said this is after Brokeback Mountain, by the way, which is not as funny as this movie.
I'm sure glad that Al Roker wasn't wearing chinchilla undershorts, because that's what I like. It doesn't chafe.
All right, in case you missed the Al Roker story, he pooped his pants at the White House. Okay, and we don't need to get into any more details about that.
At least he threw his underwear away in the White House bathroom.
At the White House, yeah. And it was the day of the Easter egg roll. Fill in your own joke about chocolate eggs here. Okay.
It wasn't foil wrapped.
One hopes.
What? So don't pick
he's
up.
He's really got a problem.
Yeah, don't
that
pick
that gastric bypass really went awry if they come out with foil.
Foil wrapped.
Colored foil.
Someone left foil in him.
Foil? When did I eat foil?
Yeah.
I remember once when I was a kid, my our dog ate like some fluorescent crayons that we had laying out.
Oh!
Had fluorescent, colorful chunks in the...
You don't need to say the word. Okay. All right.
What?
Ambassador James Hormel was the ambassador that Chuck Hagel made his comments about that were obviously considered homophobic at the time, 14 years ago. We will talk to him about how he feels about the Chuck Hagel nomination when we return on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Then, as of this moment,
Stephanie Miller
on double secret probation.
Oh no! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Chuck Hagel obviously has been nominated for defense secretary, and one of the things everybody's talking about is his comments about former Ambassador James Hormel, who joins us now. Good morning. Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for taking time for us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's interesting. You originally had said, everybody was thinking, now, what was it he said? And you go back, and he referred to you as openly aggressively gay, which I never, first of all, I never got that.
Sounds as if I have fangs.
Exactly. And an he called that an inhibiting factor to do an effective job. He obviously has apologized in a statement to Politico. And your first reaction was you were not sure it was sincere, correct?
Well, it took me by surprise, I must say, because I hadn't heard anything about this in 14 years. And then I read the statement carefully, and it occurred to me that this was really quite exceptional because, in the first place, apologies don't come easily out of Washington, and they are usually qualified by, you know, I'm sorry if I hurt somebody
right.
or something like
yes,
that.
It's a classic if I offended anybody, right.
Yes, yes, and that didn't appear in this one. And so I thought to myself, when was the last time a person in a position to become, you know, one of the principals in the cabinet issued an apology for anything, and I couldn't recall a time. So to me, it was a statement about the constituency, the LGBT constituency, and how much respect it has gained over the past 14 years. And that was very important.
Well,
and having said what he did, now I think that that he will be obliged to follow through and be very careful about how the don't ask, don't tell policies are dissembled and how military families are treated and whether they're being treated equally or not.
Well, and I thought it was very telling something you said. You said of Cable's comment, you said if it were made today, it would be clearly disqualifying. And I guess the good thing about this story is it really does show how far we've come since then, right? I mean, not only did we
yes.
enact this ridiculous policy back then, which thank God we've gotten rid of, but, you know, the fact that it even seemed like a reasonable policy back then just today makes us shake our heads, right?
Really, really. Well, it wasn't reasonable then, and it certainly isn't today.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Back then, the atmosphere was such that I think the president, who was brand new at the time, thought he had the authority to do it and didn't realize that that the people would rise up and oppose him on it. I mean, when you look back to 1948, when Harry Truman integrated the military service, it seemed to happen seamlessly. Of course, it didn't, but it seemed to. And I think that we could easily have been in a mode of thinking that led us to believe that it would happen seamlessly.
You know, it's interesting because back then, Hegel also, you know, I remember he told the New York Times in 1999, the armed forces aren't some social experiment. So
right.
he is on, I mean, I think it will be interesting to hear him question on all this and to see if his evolution, you know, obviously appears sincere, which it does appear to be at this point, doesn't it?
Well, of course, it's up to the committee to elicit answers to these questions, and he needs to address them. But at this point, there's nothing that I see that should obstruct his path. It's up to him.
You had said originally, I thought this so-called apology, which I haven't received, but which was made public, had the air of being a defensive move on his part. And you said it appeared to only have been given in service of his attempt to get the nomination. It would be nice, wouldn't it, for him to apologize to you directly?
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you say, boy, he does seem to be right on a lot of issues, including Afghanistan and all of that. You know, and you do say at what point you go, this was 14 years ago, and he's apologized, right?
Yes. Well, all of those are issues he's going to have to address in committee hearings, and I think that to prejudge him is unfair.
Yeah. What, James, what was, Ambassador, what was that like for you back then? I mean, it like I say, because it just was such a different time, what with the don't ask, don't tell and all of that. And I guess his point was, oh, this is a sensitive position and there's, you know, perceptions around the world of homosexuality or whatever. But it must have felt personally very hurtful to you.
Well, I'm not sure that was his point, frankly, because I think that based on a conversation I had with him in the presence of Senator Bob Kerry, he indicated that he would speak to members of the Senate, possibly those who had put a hold on my nomination, and Senator Trent Lott, who was the majority leader at the time, to see whether something could be done to bring my nomination to the floor for a full vote. That conversation took place only about a month before this article appeared in the World Herald. So I have the notion that he probably did that and was told point blank, don't mess around with this.
Right, right.
Trent Lyle is not about to let it come to a vote.
Yeah.
That very clear. He said to a friend of mine in Washington who asked him, why won't you meet with Mr. Hormel? He said, why would I want to do that? I might like him.
Did you ever figure out what openly aggressively gay means?
No, but I do not have fangs.
Have you become more passively gay since then?
Since then, I think that we've managed to accomplish enormous strides.
Yeah,
and it's very encouraging. Of course, the most important thing for any group is social acceptance and cultural acceptance, and that comes very hard over very long periods. I look at the Equal Rights Amendment, which was written in 1920 and still hasn't been ratified.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you look at these hearings coming up, Ambassador, and you think, how amazing is it that the first openly gay senator, Tammy Baldwin, will be questioning Chuck Hagel? I mean, in addition,
maybe even
Barney Schiff, Barney Frank, the first married gay congressman. Well, if he's interim for John Kerry, right? He will also be questioning him. So, I mean, between that and the Supreme Court stuff coming up, I mean, it really is. You must just think, what a whole new day from when you went through all this, right?
Well, it's amazing to me. It really is amazing. I was out of the country when Lawrence v. Texas was decided, and that was sort of Brown versus Board of Education for gay people. It was an enormous decision.
Yeah.
Enormous. Yes, I'm very excited. When I started this quest about 40 years ago now, things looked bleak indeed. It was the State Department that was still firing people for being gay. They were ferreting them out and firing them.
Yeah.
It was shocking.
Well, and your book came out a little over a year ago, Fit to Serve, Reflections on a Secret Life, Private Struggle, and Public Battle to Become the First Openly Gay U.S. Ambassador. As I say, even you must be surprised at how much progress we've made so quickly.
Well, it truly is amazing. I was the first, and I was appointed, not chosen by the Senate, unfortunately. The first person who went through the process, openly gay, did that only about 3 or 4 years after I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Unbelievable. What is your take on what's going to happen at the Supreme Court?
I can only sit here with my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I think that's what's really, when you think of what an important civil right it is, when you think it could come down to one guy, it is a little terrifying, right?
Well, yes, it is. And at the same time, the people on the court are certainly reflective of the politics of the time. So they must be thinking themselves about what people feel and want at this time as opposed to 25 years ago, even.
Well, and it doesn't seem to me, Ambassador, it's even such a partisan issue anymore when you listen to how eloquently Ted Olson argues this, right?
Yes, indeed.
Who's obviously a Republican. It gives you great hope.
Yes, it does indeed. And Olson and his current partner argue back and forth about how many of the members of the court they're going to be able to persuade, because one of them has Democratic connections, very strong ones, and the other Republican. And And they say, well, if they can do their job, it'll be a 9-0 decision.
Yeah, I know. That's what I Ted Olson makes me very happy clappy when I talk to him. I'm like, really? Ambassador, you put out a statement saying that you would support this nomination. You say basically that you accept Chuck Hagel's apology, and you think obviously if he answers the questions that he should be confirmed.
Well, I said more specifically in a later statement that that I'd be willing to accept his apology, and that his comments should not disqualify him from consideration.
Yep.
So, in my opinion, it's up to the committee to elicit from him the statements that will satisfy them. And then we'll see.
Yep.
But from what one can read and track down about his background and his positions and his experience, there are many things about him that make him very attractive. The fact that he served in the military as an enlisted person.
Right.
Rather than an officer, makes quite a statement just in itself.
Yep. And you say in your statement, 14 years have passed and public attitudes have shifted. Perhaps Senator Hagel has progressed with the times as well. So I'm sure we'll, as the hearings go forward, make that determination. But I thought that was very, I thought your statement was very classy.
Well, thank you very much. I had a brief conversation with Ambassador Guest, who was my successor as an openly gay man, appointed and confirmed to serve as an ambassador, and he, I think, has written a piece that essentially supports the Hagel nomination, and I think we both feel that the times have changed and that this gentleman has changed as well.
Yep, absolutely. Ambassador, what an honor. Thank you so much. Heard so much about you, and it's such an honor to meet you finally.
Well, I hope that we'll have other opportunities, and this was a great pleasure for me.
All right. Thank you, sir. Talk to you again soon. There he goes.
Thank you.
Ambassador. The openly and progressively and very distinguished.
Wow. That was aggressive.
That was an aggressive interview. Was that overly aggressive? All right. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Free speech? What a concept. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Speaking of sexy things. Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
It's time for a little Jackie's Healthcare Corner. What do you say?
Not a problem. Just make it quick.
Yeah. Okie dokie. You got something to do with a guy with a place?
I got news to do at the top of the hour.
All right. No, I wondered if you read Robert Reich's piece in the Huffington Post, The Hoax of Entitlement Reform, because, here we go again, right? And he writes a great piece about specifically your area of expertise, Medicare and Medicaid costs.
He makes the same argument that I've made before, that we don't have a Medicare or Medicaid problem. We have a health care cost problem overall. And
right.
Medicare may actually be the solution because we've managed to keep overhead down and we've managed to be more efficient within Medicare. And it's not a problem. Our problem is not within the Medicare system. Our problem is when the health care system overall, and the fact that we just spend way too much money, it's overinflated because people make money off of our health care system.
Well, right. And he further argues, like you say, cutting or limiting Medicare and Medicaid costs as entitlement reformers want to do won't reform any of it. It would result in less care. In fact, and then here he goes, it's like you always say, or Alan Grayson says, we do better to open Medicare to everyone. Their administrative costs are in the range of 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, they just are more efficient. They also are more innovative. I mean, we use the Medicare system to work out new innovations within the healthcare complex. So there's other things we can do too. We can use the bargaining power of Medicare. We can start doing things like modernizing our system with electronic medical records, things that the Affordable Care Act is going to bring into place. I mean, there's just a lot of innovation that we can do. And if we have a unified system like that, it's easier to do those sorts of things when you've got, multiple private health insurance companies and then multiple private stakeholders, right? Like
right.
hospitals, doctors, whatever it happens to be, it's much harder to herd those cats well, than it is to do everything under the umbrella of one system.
Right. I mean, it seems like some of our friends on the right, the America yeah people, would care that we're spending nearly 18% of our entire economy on health care compared, as Robert Reich says, to an average of 9.6% in other rich countries, yet we're no healthier than their citizens are. In fact, we're worse off in many
yeah,
cases.
Yeah, we hear that over and over again. The money does not translate into better outcomes or better health overall. I mean, the good example he gives is somebody has a chronic back problem, instead
right.
of taking them and giving them physical therapy, which is cost-effective and effective, period, medically effective, we run them through a gazillion tests because people
right.
make money off
MRIs and stuff. Yep, yep.
And, you know, we offer up pharmaceuticals, and people make money through pharmaceuticals. I mean, we perpetuate the system of waste and overspending because there's a real financial benefit to that, as opposed to taking the patient's health care needs into
right.
account and making that the priority.
Well, and that exactly caps it, is when he says there's not much money in physical therapy, which is why they refer patients to orthopedic surgeons for surgery, the MRIs, all that stuff. And that's the crux of what a stupid system to be a for-profit system, the healthcare system, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a quick example. I was in the emergency room once and watched an older woman who had some sort of like a back injury repeat the same information over and over and over again to multiple doctors. And it wasn't to verify she knew what she was talking about, is because there was no patient coordination and they didn't talk to each other and there was no record system that they could refer to. And this poor woman was in so much pain, and all I kept thinking was, gosh, you know, we could get her in and out and treated and taken care of, and that would free up all of these other medical professionals to continue to move on. I mean, it was just so many nuances within that one scenario which exemplified the problems within our system.
But that would be socialism.
Yeah.
That's what we need more of. All right, honey, yeah. That was like healthcare speed dating. Thank you very
yeah.
much. A little bit short and unsatisfying,
you know,
but really.
You know what the good thing is, though, Steph? Afterwards, I would pick you.
Okay. So. I love Aww. You. I love you. Goodbye, honey.
Love you back.
All right.
Bye. Yay, Jackie.
Yay. Yeah, good stuff. That's what I was saying, is exactly stuff that we have learned in Jackie's Healthcare Corner over and over again.
Yep.
But a great piece by Robert Reich. We'll put that up, The Hoax of Entitlement Reform,
okay.
on the Facebook page, because I said so. All right. Wow, this is a shock. Diana Ross causes a scene somewhere at a Beverly Hills
Where
restaurant.
Doesn't she cause a scene?
You know, you'd think the restaurant could have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Please, first of all, call her Miss Ross. She caused a scene in a Beverly Hills restaurant after she was told she would have to wait to be seated. Oh, dear.
Oh, Miss Ross does not wait to be seated.
Oh, girl.
Good heavens.
Ross arrived at the upscale eatery La Scala. Oh,
arrived
dear.
And raved, yes.
Yes, to have lunch with her daughter when she was told the restaurant does not seat anyone without a reservation until the entire party has arrived.
Ooh.
She showed up ahead of her daughter. She was asked to wait. She declined and marched to a booth on her own.
Well, then.
The management walked over to discuss the restaurant seating policies. I love that they thought they were going to have a discussion
with
about
Ross.
The seating policies and how they apply to her. Okay. Telling her that she would not be served if she didn't wait for her daughter. Naturally, she refused to move, and a scene ensued once her daughter showed up, and they both eventually stormed out of the restaurant.
Does Diana Ross have the pull that
not
she once
really.
Had?
No.
I hate to say this for at risk of, you know, getting something thrown at me
by
Miss Ross.
That was told, go over and tell Miss Ross to...
Yeah.
Get her ass out of the booth. Go
wow.
see how that goes for you.
Yeah.
That's like, that was like Jim Jomb on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I'm going to wait here in the all safety right. of the
hostess.
While
Jim is out fighting
you
the
go,
wildebeest,
you
I'll
go
be here in the
her.
Trailer.
Drinking a Mai Tai.
All right. Real quick, Tom in Texas, you get to close this show today. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Stephanie, greetings from Texas, where men are men and sheep are nervous.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wanted to know, it seems to me that the Republicans and the teabaggers are taking over this country one district at a time, one state at a time. And is there a movement going on with the Democratic Party or the same people? To do anything about this, because this country is getting taken over by
we're being teabagged. We
yeah.
are. But although there's less of them, the bags are smaller. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal, on The Stephanie Miller Show tomorrow.